Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Suitor Report, where we are definitely ready for the madness. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Suitor Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red Suitor Report to listen to our past podcasts. Today on the show, Ryan McCumber joins me. We're going to talk about what Michigan State needs to do to get out of the weekend alive. But first, we are going to talk about that opening round matchup that the Spartans have with the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee State. Ryan is with us now. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. I see that a few of my friends have a 4TV setup now in East Lansing, so good job, guys. Way to do it right.
Very informative. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's get to know Middle Tennessee State. Not a lot of people know about them. In fact, some people would argue that, look, they've never played many revenue sports against Michigan State, and so some people, the only real tie that Michigan State and Middle Tennessee State have is the fact that MTSU was the first school to offer Darquez Bernard and even Maple his scholarship.
Yeah, way to go, MTSU.
Big swing and a miss there, but, I mean, if no one else was willing to offer him either until Mark D'Antonio came along. I mean, just goes to show you his oracle ability to, like, see the future with some of these kids. Another tie, the coach for Middle Tennessee State, Kermit Davis, he's friends with a former coach in East Lansing. Maybe not the most popular fate around Michigan State's beautiful campus, but he is friends with John L. Smith, and so everyone knows Tom Izzo, knows his reputation, knows how he likes to get along with the football coaches, whether it be Bobby Williams, Mark D'Antonio, obviously, they're best friends now, Nick Saban. I mean, it wasn't talked about as much with John L. Smith, and I think it's just because the programs were on such different levels, you know, basketball program all the way at the top, football on the bottom. But it's something that he tried to do. It's something that Mark Hollis had in plan. And what Ron Mason had is just to try to build this, especially between basketball and football.
Right. I mean, it does show that there's the Spartan athletic department is just, I mean, with revenue sports, you can't get much better. I mean, you've got two of the better coaches in the country, and they get along well, programs support each other, and I 100% agree with you on that. I mean, it just shows the continuity that Mark Hollis has instilled around the Michigan State athletic department.
Yeah. Okay, so, Ryan, I'm going to ask you a question here, and I'm not going to try to dismiss the Blue Raiders for what they are. I mean, they won their conference championship. They were second in Conference USA in the regular season. So they are a talented team. Prior to the draw, did you know about Middle Tennessee State?
Literally nothing. I didn't watch their conference title game. So, I mean, I knew absolutely nothing about them. But looking at them now, they're very small. I guess their tallest guy that they play is like 6'8". They shoot the free ball well, especially Gabe Potts, the guard. He's got the best 3-point shooting percentage in the country. They don't have any great wins. I think that their best win was to RPI, and that was like a team with an RPI of 111 or something. So, I mean, it's not like they have.
Yeah, they're. I got them at 1-2 against tournament teams. They lost to VCU. They lost South Tournament.
Yes, they're in the tournament. I mean, I just don't see. I mean, no disrespect to the Blue Raiders. Congratulations on getting in, but I think that's one of the worst draws they could possibly get because, I mean, they don't get to the free throw line that often. And to be fair to them, they don't shoot free throws that well. But, I mean, this is a team that's not going to be able to match up with Michigan State inside. And, I mean, they're going to have to shoot a barrage of three-pointers if they want a chance to win this game.
And that's the thing is they can kind of shoot from any position that they put out there. Denzel Valentine said that it would be like based upon their size and how they match up, having a Clark, Beth, and Valentine out there. You know, guys about 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", who can take it out, who can shoot outside, who can take it inside. Personally, I don't think Javon Best can shoot outside. But on Middle Tennessee State's version of Best apparently can. And to me, that kind of spells trouble for Deontay Davis. I mean, we talked about it. Look, he did a good job on Zach Irvin. He did a great job on Nigel Hayes. But lately, he's kind of reverted back to how he played on the perimeter defensively at the beginning of the year. And he struggled. And if Middle Tennessee State, like I said, they like to shoot the threes. If they want to beat Michigan State, they saw what Deontay Davis did in the Big Ten tournament regarding his post defense. They're going to try to keep him on the outside.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. I mean, he was not impressive guarding the perimeter in the Big Ten tournament at all. And, you know, Middle Tennessee State has the guys that can provide matchup issues for him out on the perimeter. Obviously, they're not going to want to get the ball into the post much against him or Matt Costello, but, I mean, they're going to try and get Deontay Davis to guard the perimeter, and that's been an issue for Davis. Like you said, I mean, he struggled. I think he covered Jake Layman in the Maryland game. He had issues with that on the perimeter. You know, this is a game Michigan State should win, but it'd be nice to see Davis come up big defensively on the perimeter.
Yeah, another thing that I kind of thought about, the way that this team was described by Valentine, like I said, he's got a Clark, a Best, and a Valentine out there. They kind of remind me of Ohio State in that aspect. You know, I mean, they had three very interchangeable guys. You probably could have had a fourth in there had Deshaun Tate not went down with an injury. And so I think that maybe the Ohio State, the way that they play on offense could really, the fact that Michigan State played them three times recently is really going to benefit the Spartans.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good point. At the same time, Middle Tennessee State is a much better shooting team. I think Middle Tennessee is a better shooting, maybe less athletic version of Ohio State. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, they're athletic. They're athletic for a smaller school, especially.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
I'm not going to put them on the level of Michigan State, though. I mean, even though Brent Forbes isn't considered the most athletic guy, neither is Valentine, neither is Costello. But where the Spartans don't have the athleticism there, they really make up for it with Aaron Harris and Deontay Davis. And so I think that the matchup favors Michigan State a little bit more. One of the differences, though, and I've kind of talked to you a little bit about this, is Ohio State, they've been more man-to-man this year than anything. Northwestern has even played man a lot more. Michigan has played man a lot more. These are typically zone teams. For the most part, I mean, Ohio State has been on and off pending their personnel. But Northwestern, Michigan, is this going to be a problem for Michigan State?
I think that it might cause problems earlier in the game if it's going to cause any problems. But the way some Izzo teams adjust, especially in March, I think they'll be fine. But, that's something to look at early in the game. I think it can cause early matchup problems, but I think they'll be fine overall.
Yeah, when I've seen other teams run zones, it's typically the 2-3 variety. Which obviously we'll talk about in a second, since we are previewing the entire weekend and, well, Syracuse is a possible opponent for Sunday should the Spartans advance. But Michigan State, they've had a hard time getting the ball at the free throw line or on the elbow where they typically want it. I don't know what the deal with that is. I've seen Marvin Clark in the middle of it. I've seen Costello run the middle of it. Typically, Michigan State likes to put a guy like Draymond Green or a pretty decent-sized passer in the middle of the lane and let him, or in the middle of the zone, and let him create. To me, that guy is Denzel Valentine. I haven't seen Michigan State do it at all this year.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair comparison. And, yeah, you haven't seen it that much this year because, like you said, teams that typically run zone aren't running it all the time anymore. It'll be interesting to see if they use him in that aspect tomorrow and possibly on Sunday if they face Syracuse.
Right. To me, the best offense against Michigan the best offense for Michigan State, the guy that people, for whatever reason, and I mean, I know you and me are on the same page, they've had a problem with this year. It's been tum-tum. Shot clock starts expiring because the zone, it takes a little more time to penetrate than a straight-up man does, especially with all of his O-sets. And tum-tum will get the ball, and he can get into the middle, and he can sink the entire – he can sink all five guys in towards him, and that opens it up for the great shooters that we have with Valentine. Costello and Davis can step out 17 feet. Aaron Harris is out there. Forbes is out there. McQuaid is out there. He can shoot. And I think that he's going to be pivotal. Maybe not so much against Middle Tennessee State. I think he's still going to be important. But especially should the Spartans advance to play Syracuse.
Oh, absolutely. You and I have been saying it all year. He's going to be a big part of this team in March. I have never understood unwarranted dislike for him. He when he penetrates on offense, I mean, he made a few plays in the Big Ten tournament that I thought were pretty good offensive plays. He can open it up if he penetrates the lane for shooters, like you said, like Forbes, you know, Valentine, and it'll maybe open up the lane
Harris
for the Costello. Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, if Tom comes up big, I Spartans have a really good shot at winning the whole thing. I mean, obviously he's dealt with foot issues this year, but he seemed to be back to full speed when he was playing this past week.
Yeah, and let's clear something up. He does not need to score 12 points to be at his best. He needs to get into the lane, maybe have 7 assists, one of his turnover numbers like he's done pretty well this year. Sometimes he still made a few head-scratching plays. He had an open jump shot against Purdue, decided to try to use the speed, get into the lane. He couldn't do it. He had to settle for a turnaround that got blocked by two guys. And I think that was what caused the ultimate firestorm. And all it is that he's not a scorer, but, and people often use the phrase, oh, I hate it, we're playing 4 and 5 on offense. We're playing 4 and 5 with Aaron Harris as our best defender on defense. So do you want to sacrifice offense where that's the only place where it's going to hurt you, or do you want to sacrifice that on defense where, hey, a bad play score, they end up getting Aaron Harris's head on offense, and he doesn't perform at the way that he is capable of. I'm not bashing. He's very capable of probably being the, I'll say, fourth best player on the team. Valentine, Forbes, Costello, obviously, 1, 2, and 3 in that order. And so I think that Tom's going to be important. I think he's really going to be important on defense, especially in this opening round game. You talked a little bit about Middle Tennessee State, their best player, Giddy Potts, averages about 15 points a game, leads the nation in three-point percentage. Part of that was helped because Forbes has went ice cold over the last three games. Potts is shooting 50.3%. Forbes is shooting 48.4%. It's going to be Harrison Tumtum on that guy.
Yep.
And
I mean,
I'm going to ask you, who would you rather see?
I'm Potts. I like to see Harris because if he defends well, I mean, he is a lights out defender. I mean, obviously,
right,
he's
but can you
miss,
rely
but...
on his? But can you rely on his defensive aptitude any given game?
I think you can in this game. I think they've got a little bit of wiggle room here. But once you get to teams like potentially Seton Hall, Syracuse, Dayton, I don't think you can put him on their best player. I mean, obviously, Harris has come up big against Melo Trimble, when he's defending, he's absolutely lights out. I mean, there's no question about it.
Yep.
His inconsistency worries me, but this is a game where you can have a little bit of wiggle room with him defending. I mean, if he doesn't have a great defensive game, they should still win the game. But obviously that would not be a good sign for Sunday.
I think what helps a little bit, too, what's going to help out Harris on defense, especially against Potts, because I think Potts, if Michigan State flips up, I think Potts is going to be the next Fred VanVleet, you know, the next Cinderella story type guy. Shabazz Napier, Shabazz Napier obviously had a little bit of a reputation. Jerry McNamara had a little bit of a reputation. Kemba Walker has a pretty solid reputation, but they just got exponentially better during the course of March. And I think Giddy Potts, he's potentially one of those players who could end up doing it. Problem with this Middle Tennessee State team is they don't share the ball. And I think that's going to help out Aaron Harris. They rank 196th in the country, only average about 13 assists a game. And given the fact we've been watching Michigan State all year, we've watched how well they share the ball, just at a San Antonio Spurs-type level this season, you have to think that would help out Harris.
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about them passing the ball too often. Harris, Dan Dockage, when he had him as his defensive, you're dead. And I was like, whoa. You can make an argument for it, especially with the way that he came up with big games.
For most improved defensive player. I don't know if you can necessarily say he's on your first team all defense.
Okay, I guess I agree with you on that. I mean, yes, before he got here, I was like, oh my gosh, I thought his offensive output would be monstrous. I watched a lot of him at West Virginia, but his defense, I was like, this guy at best is low average defensive player, and he is just. Yeah, I mean, he's surpassed my expectations. Sure, I get frustrated with him from time to time, but yeah, he is. At least an above-average defender at this point, I think, overall. I mean, sure, he'll have his games where he's a mediocre defender, but no, he'll be just, like, absolutely lights out the next game.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Let's kind of take a sneak peek at the other game. Ultimately, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but we're not going to be doing another show this weekend. Syracuse and Dayton... a lot of questions, man. Should Syracuse be in? I know that you're probably the biggest advocate to see if you can swap them for Monmouth right now.
Yeah. I'm gonna go on a little bit of a rant here. Syracuse should not have been in the tournament. I think Monmouth should have been rewarded for going to big-name schools and playing and winning, even though some of those big-name schools...
17 road wins.
Yes, and some of those big-name schools didn't perform up to what we thought they would, but they still scheduled them. Syracuse usually plays a garbage non-conference schedule under Jim Boeheim.
They fell off later in the year. They had a good run in the middle of ACC season. They started out awful. They should not have been in. I don't see them beating Dayton. I think Michael Gabinje is a great player, but I don't see anybody outside him or Trevor Cooney that can make an impact against Dayton.
Despite all of that, I think Syracuse is the favorite because I think the selection committee gave them a little bit of leeway. I haven't talked to anybody on the selection committee. I just know that they did because they went 4-5 Boeheim, and if you think that a 19-13 record is good enough, especially with some of the struggles that Syracuse has had this season, you're kidding yourself. I don't think that they deserve to be in, if you include that, but they got a little bit of slack. Now, my question would be, shouldn't that mean in the same regard that Michigan State should have got a little bit because Tumtum went down with an injury, and you not only had to acclimate your best player back into the lineup, you had to put him at a different position that he hasn't run. I mean, he's been a very solid point forward, obviously, but he's been great this year. He's been superb this year. He's player of the year this year. Shouldn't Michigan State have gotten a little bit of that slack? If you're going to sit there and say, oh, well, they didn't have Jim Boeheim, he got punished.
The committee did come out and say that they did not take into account Jim Boeheim not being there. Just for what it's worth, I'm not saying they're telling the truth, but I'm just putting that out there. I do agree with you that, Denzel Valentine was out for a while as well. That Tum-Tum injury did hurt. Obviously, you had to move Valentine over basically the point guard.
Again, it's not necessarily the Tum-Tum injury hurt. It's the fact that you had to move your best player from small forward to point guard. I don't know how much of a difference maker Tum-Tum is. It's not measurable because he doesn't put up the points.
Right. I mean, defensively, him being gone, I think, hurt, but that's the point. But, yeah, I agree with you that them having to move Valentine basically a point guard was, like, and the way they adjusted was, like, absolutely impressive. Obviously, they struggled for a little bit there, losing to Wisconsin, Iowa and Nebraska, but later on you can tell they adjusted to it. But yeah, I mean, that's a good point. The committee probably should have taken that into account if they took into account Jim Boeheim not being at Syracuse for the first nine games.
They would be a one seed in the Midwest, and it wouldn't be one of those things like, oh, well, if this happened, they'd be out west as the number one. No, they would have been the head of Virginia. The NCAA considered it at the same level they considered the Boeheim thing. Which one would you rather see? Would you rather see Dayton or would you rather see Syracuse?
I'd rather see Syracuse. I don't think they're a very good team. I think that Michigan State would be able to shoot over their zone. And, with Bryn Forbes probably going off, that'd be a good game to get him going again because he didn't have a great Big Ten tournament. I think that facing that 2-3 zone would give him a lot of open looks.
I'm going to have to kind of go the other way there. You can talk about how, they can shoot over the zone. Syracuse runs the zone as well as anybody in the country. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. The way Boeheim teaches and preaches about it, there's not a question that Syracuse runs the best. There's not a question whether or not Syracuse runs the best zone in the country. They do. In fact, as far as three-point field goal percentage on defense goes, Michigan State is 11th in the country. Syracuse is 12th. That's a pretty good defense. And given Forbes' struggles as of late and the fact that the zone would allow Syracuse to maybe overplay, help out a little bit more on the outside, it wouldn't benefit the Spartans. I mean, Dayton has a good defense as well, top 40. They can't shoot free throws, though, to save their lives. They're not the best shooting team either. And ultimately, I think that would help Michigan State a little bit more than going against Syracuse. especially someone as seasoned as Tim Boeheim. Not to say I don't think Tom Izzo is better than Boeheim. I think that the proof is in the pudding. He is. They each have one championship. Tom Izzo has almost twice as many Final Fours in half as many seasons. The proof is in the pudding. Tom Izzo is a better coach than Jim Boeheim. There's not a question in my mind. He won't obviously get to that wins mark that Boeheim has because of longevity. But I think that seeing Dayton on a one-day turnaround would benefit Michigan State a little bit more, considering the fact both teams are probably, say they're looking ahead to playing the Spartans, but they might not be giving Middle Tennessee State the credit that they deserve. And so they might have a little bit more on Michigan State. And ultimately, I'm going to go with who I think is the worst coach, and that's definitely not on Syracuse's sideline. How do you see this weekend playing out?
I've got Michigan State beating Middle Tennessee State pretty soundly. I've got Dayton beating Syracuse. I think Dayton is – I think that they're a pretty good team. I mean, they fell off later in the season. But And also, I want to bring up that Archie Miller is a really, really good coach. He's been looked at for big jobs. I think that at some point he's going to get a big-name job here pretty soon. He's really good.
I wasn't trying to discredit him. I was just saying, comparatively to Boeheim right now, Boeheim has the resume.
No question. I mean, I just think Archie Miller deserves a look. I mean, obviously you were discrediting him. I just want to show that he's a pretty good coach, too.
Yeah.
I've got Michigan State beating Dayton. I think it'll be a closer game than people want it to be, but I think they pull it out.
I think Michigan State's going to struggle this first game. Like we've talked about, they haven't seen much zone. And so I think they're going to struggle a little bit with that. They've struggled early against weaker competition anyways. And I don't know if it's because, well, Tom Izzo would like to say, they're reading their own press clippings or what the deal is. I think that Michigan State comes out, struggle, and I honestly would not be surprised if they were down at halftime. Look, anything can happen in March. We've seen the craziest stuff happen. It's not really happened with Michigan State. You know, you have a couple of deep runs by Michigan State, fueled by a Corey Lucius three, you know, the close games against Maryland and Tennessee when Kalen Lucas went down. And you do have some of these closer games, but they've not gone the complete other way that you see some of these major upsets go since the George Mason game. So, I think that Michigan State struggles a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if they're down by halftime. I think they come out firing, though, in the second half. Valentine knows what it takes to get to the Final Four. I think they beat Middle Tennessee State. I think Dayton advances. I mean, and like I said, that's who I would rather see them play. I think Syracuse is underrated a little bit because of their slump without Boeheim. But at the same time, I think Dayton advances. I think Michigan State just has too much firepower for the Flyers. I think Michigan State goes on to the Sweet 16. Ryan, thanks for coming on. You enjoy your Thursday and Friday full of basketball watching. Well, Saturday and Sunday, too, I guess. That does it for us today. We'll be back on Monday for a recap of all this weekend's action. For Ryan McCumber, I'm Tyler Hayward. And this was the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.